This is CITR, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam land.
You're listening to 24 Hours of Student Power, 100% student content all dang day.
Featuring student band Melt and Cheap Flavor, live in studio.
Hello, Vancouver. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you live from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. This is 24 Hours of Student Power. This is the show, day-long show, where student programmers and students with great stuff on campus, meet up and just talk about the things you're doing, the great initiatives you're up to. And we have Jay. What's your full name?
Jaydeep Singh.
Okay, and I'm Ola. I am your host for today, and we're going to talk to Jay about like his life, life story, and the food bank. I mean, that's what's on the paper right now. It's Jay and the food bank, AMS Food Bank. Mm-hmm. So, just first of all, just introduce yourself to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is this close enough to the mic there?
Yeah.
So again, my name is Jay. My full name is JD, but my parents and all my friends and family call me Jay. I was actually born in America. I was born in California in 1995. I'm currently 20 years old. I moved up to, and I'm Indian as well. Both my parents were born in India, raised in India. I moved up to Canada. I lived in a suburb outside of Vancouver in UBC called North Delta. I lived there from 12 until I graduated high school. And throughout high school, I played football and rugby. I was able to play university-level football, actually, but then I decided to turn it down simply because I was getting injured too much. I had five concussions playing football and rugby. It was my parents just like really, really wanted me to not stop playing, which is fair. And I still do have a really big passion for the sports that I used to play. But that being said, I wanted to focus more on just like building myself professionally and academically when I came to school. I actually came into arts as my first year. Kind of not understanding and knowing what I really wanted to do. Some of them we were talking about earlier today too.
Yeah.
And so I did a lot of random different things in my first year, including I signed up for an internship actually, where I was able to run and manage my own painting company, like super random. Yeah, it was called College Works Painting. A lot of people have
how
done
is,
it.
How is what's it called?
College Works Painting.
How is College Works Painting doing now?
Yeah, it's doing well. So what they do is they hire university students around North America to run and manage their own painting company. You're essentially your own franchisee.
Nice.
And because of that, I was able to work on my sales, work on my marketing. I was able to build my own business essentially. And over the course of the summer, I was able to get almost $80,000 in revenue. And I was able to also pay off my way through school for my second year, which is also really important to me.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So
and you're from America, you're from the States, right? So that means you're paying.
I'm paying domestic fees because I am a resident now of Canada because I lived here. But that being said, like university is still quite expensive.
Still quite expensive.
Exactly.
Very expensive.
Exactly. And when you need to pay for it predominantly on your own, it is while studying as well, it is pretty difficult. So that really helped me. Doing that, coming into my second year, I was still looking for different things to do. I ended up joining a fraternity on campus, Sigma Chi. And then throughout the course of the year, I was also trying to transfer into the business school here at Sauder. And by just working really hard, I was able to get my grades to where they needed to be. I was able to build my personal profile. And so this is my first year in the Sauder School of Business as, nice. as a third year standing. So I am still a third year at UBC and also in Sauder. And so these little things that I'm joining, these organizations that I'm working with.
Yeah, you seem very, very involved.
Yeah, because I understand that in university, the most important thing you can do is your academics are obviously extremely important.
Very important, but we're
at university, especially at campus and school like UBC, to do so much more. For me, my priorities are A, meet a lot of cool people, and then B, get good relevant work experience that when I graduate, I'll be able to have a resume and I'll be able to have different experiences that I can talk about to whoever I'm applying to be able to get that job. And then thirdly is obviously academics, not saying that my grades aren't important to me. They are important to me. Just the weight and that importance is probably shifted over towards more of the experience of university. So that's why I'm joining all these different organizations. Yeah. And so then going into the summer of 2014, looking for a summer job, I and also trying to find out what I actually really wanted to do and what I founder that I had a passion for was just essentially helping people out in some way, some form. I just didn't know how I was going to do that in the most efficient way for me and for whoever I was going to help out. I saw this job opening for the AMS Food Bank as a coordinator.
Enter
AMS Food Bank plug. So the AMS Food Bank was a part of the AMS services. So the AMS has their own services at UBC, including like Safe Walk and Speakeasy and tutoring.
Could you tell us about the AMS Food Bank as it's by itself?
Absolutely. So I took over that position in May, and so the food bank itself is an emergency food bank for any students on campus with a UBC student card that may need to use the service. They can use the service 6 times a semester, and this is available to both undergraduate students and as well as graduate students. And so they can, again, they can use it 6 times a semester, and then we have...
Is there a limit on like how much they can take each time?
Yeah, so we have a grocery bag, they could fill up the grocery bag all the way up to the brim. And that's the limit that they have. If they're with the family, some of our students are graduate students, and those students have families. They have children. Maybe they can use 2 bags to fill up each visit that they come. So over the course of the semester, they have 12 bags of food instead of 6 bags of food. So that's how the food bank works.
So as a coordinator, you're the coordinator,
yes.
Right? As a coordinator, what do you do at the food bank?
So anything the food bank will do across campus, I'm the one that's managing all. Yeah, exactly. So with regards to sponsorship, reaching out to the community, asking for help, also accepting donations. And we have a large volunteer team that we have with the food bank too that helps out for different fundraising events on campus, as well as we have a client relations coordinator who makes sure that the experience with the clients is always up to the service that we needed it to be, as well as different marketing efforts that we are doing, spreading awareness, doing things like this, speaking and talking to different media outlets throughout the course of the summer as well as coming into this year. Along with a bunch of other different organizational aspects of the food bank. With the help of 10 volunteers, we're able to do that for the food bank, yeah.
Do you think there's a need for a food bank, especially in like a university setting, which is like relatively privileged and posh-ish, I guess? I mean, I'm just like quoting from a CBC article.
Yeah.
Do you think like there's a place for that here?
Yeah.
And just make your argument for... the need for food bank on the UBC campus.
Yeah, well, I mean, before I applied for the job, first, I didn't even know there was a food bank on campus. So then secondly, I didn't think that the food bank was needed on campus for students. And you're not wrong. We're at UBC, like we're sitting in the Nest, which is a $115 million building. It's beautiful. It's like, why would people going to the school, coming into this kind of building or any other buildings around campus actually need an emergency food bank?
But
that being said, when I reflected a little bit more and I realized kind of the perception of what a college student is, like, what is our perception? We're the broke college students who are eating noodles and we're not, you know, like things like those. We're the broke college kid, right?
Yeah.
A lot of us are on student loans. So that's just the stigma that is around it. And a lot of it is kind of... what's it called? It's just like kind of like a media thing that people talk about. And it's almost like a funny thing to talk about. But when you actually look at the issue of that, it's probably true. And it's probably true. And there is an underlying issue that is in that. So what I quickly found out was that the students that were using the food bank itself, they really did need the food bank.
Yeah.
A lot of them would come in, and I like to always have a good interaction with my clients and get to know them a little bit and understand what their story is. And so a lot of the times when I would ask them questions, obviously not as intrusive as possible, I would find out stories like, oh, they just moved here from a different country. They spent all their money on transportation, all their money coming over here, going to school, paying for rent in Vancouver. And then so food kind of goes on the wayside.
Yeah.
That's one. I feel like that's one part of the demographic of the students that need the service. So those people who really, really need it. Another demographic are students that are like a student like myself or students that are in first year, second year, and they're staying in residence and they're using their meal plan dollars and their dollars are slowly depleting.
Disappears.
Yeah. And then they're also, they don't really think of food as the biggest necessity. They're okay with coffee. They're okay with just having like a bagel or something.
Yeah.
So, and that sometimes deters their ability to even focus and even study for their academics at the end of it. So there's been one kind of demographic of students that would be using a food bank regardless of where that food bank was, if it was a Greater Vancouver food bank and also at UBC. And then there's also the demographic that are just like young students who are on student loans, or maybe relying on their parents as well, who are trying to get a little more financially independent. Yeah. And those are the ones that need to use it sometimes too.
Yeah. So literally there is a need for a food bank.
Yes.
Like, even if there wasn't one in UBC, students might still be going to the ones in other places in BC as well.
I would say so. Yeah.
Since you got there, like, it's nearly tripled since you got there, right? That's, I think, 163 visits to the bank. Right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of students.
Yeah.
I've read some comments online on Facebook, and they were like, oh, you know, like, if kids are going to, like, you know, come all the way, they should, like, just go to cheaper school rather than, like, you know. I mean, first of all, I feel angry, but, like, I don't know how to, like, actually respond to that. Do you have a nice response for that?
I just want you guys to understand that I'm also a student at UBC. I'm not a professional in any means, so this is simply my opinion. There isn't really much credibility behind it other than the fact that I've been able to work here and kind of understand where these clients are coming from. So my response to that would be, at the end of the day, it's like, when we're coming through high school, we want to go to the best university that we can go to. Yes, we're always thinking about money, and that's why a lot of the times we come to Canada. When you talk to a lot of different international students, they say, "Hey, we
myself
couldn't
included."
Yeah, well, exactly. You're from Nigeria, correct?
Yeah.
So coming to America or coming to Vancouver or Canada, the difference in prices, they were cheaper in Canada than they were in America. Correct.
Yeah.
So what else is your alternative then? What else would you have chosen? Mm-hmm. And yes, you can go to a cheaper school. You could have went to a college off campus instead of university. But then the level of education may be different. It may be something else that you may have wanted. You want to come here and you want to study a good economics program, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You may not find that elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of different issues that encompass that.
I actually think that there's also like the aspect where a lot of people have their like. They do have their like tuition already handled, so some people do get like scholarships. Like some people from less developed countries, they have their scholarship handled, or they have like family funding them, or like you know, sponsoring them for the entire degree, right? But that doesn't include like food and stuff.
So
that's where the food bank would come very handy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's for like you haters.
Well, it is an interesting conversation to have, and obviously there's going to be people who are against different issues and think that there's a better way to fix those issues. And if they do, then please contact us and let's fix those issues together. You know,
nice. So all you need is a UBC student card, and just give us like the lowdown for people out there listening that might need food bank.
So client comes into the food bank, they come in and they give me their UBC student card. They fill out a little application. Some of the questions on that application are, what is your source of income? Are you on a student loan or are you on a scholarship, or do you have a pretty steady financial source of income? If I feel like they do have a pretty good source of income, then we will have the discussion of whether they actually need to use a food bank or not. That being said, it has been difficult to
determine.
Honestly though, especially with the tremendous increase in the usage, it's hard to weed out the people that may need it more so and the people that may not need it as much. And it is subjective how much you need it or not, right? So you can never really, it's tough to say you don't need it or you need it more. So that's another thing that we're slowly starting to deal with at the moment with the increase in usage rates. But I'm hoping we're going to be able to put a system in place to deal with the application and be able to provide the service to people who really, really need it, opposed to people who may just be coming just to come check it out and get some free food, you know?
So you mentioned you are also an RA, and you're also, there's some other things you're involved in.
You're
heavily involved. I couldn't keep track of all.
I'm a student. I'm a student at the Sauder School of Business. I'm studying entrepreneurship and operations management in my third year, and I'm also currently a residence advisor in Totem Park.
Which house?
In Shoe Shop House.
Shoe Shop.
Yeah. Did you live there?
No. I had friends in Shoe What?
that was literally our very creative, unique chant.
I was in Nuka.
Okay, cool.
Nuka 4.
Cool.
Good times. And you're also in a fraternity.
Yeah, I'm also part of the Sigma Chi fraternity on campus.
Is there anything else?
What else am I doing right now? Currently, that is all.
I'm going to
cap it at all this commitments.
All right. What is your favorite artist? We were talking about like you going to Squam.
Pemberton. And I fell in love with Duke Dumont.
So we're gonna play a bit of Duke Dumont and Logic.
Yeah, and Logic
as well. And we're gonna play like 1 and 2. And we're gonna talk about your RAIN and your fraternity in after the break.
Cool.
And we're gonna play some music.
Wonderful.
Cool. So for those of you tuned in, this is 24 Hours of Student Power here on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting to you live from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. And we'll be right back in a few minutes. All right, enjoy.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Skakulia, Talitin, Homasque Mustayo.
Shindig, CITR's annual band competition, is in its 30th year of promoting new, local bands and providing great prizes. Shindig happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings Street. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discorder magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR DJs spinning after the bands. It was Shindig Night 8 is happening this Tuesday, December 8th, featuring Francesca Belcourt, Branza, and Atsy. Cover is $6 at the door and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details. Hold my breath and fly away
to what a Discorder magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Hey, I'm Christine. I work in the music department.
Hi, my name is Natalie, the new media coordinator.
Hey, it's Rohit Joseph, sponsorship coordinator.
Hi, this is Yusi, and I'm the outreach coordinator.
This is Brenda, host of Peanut Butter and Jams on Thursdays.
Nasher, the ad coordinator at CITR.
My name is Robin Ellum. I'm the program manager.
Hi, I'm Eric Coates, the student music executive.
This is Costa, the news director.
Hey, it's John, the production coordinator.
Hey, this is Josh. I'm the digital submissions coordinator.
I'm Nellie, host of The Cat's Pajams.
This is Matt Granlund from Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show.
My name is Hugo. I'm the volunteer manager.
Hey, I'm Jane. I'm the volunteer coordinator.
Hey, it's Sarah Corden-Lee from the CITR Music Department.
This is Eleanor Waring, President of CITR Student Executive. From all of us at CITR, we would like to acknowledge and thank everyone who donated to this year's fund drive. With the help of listeners like you, we raised over $38,000. For this incredible generosity, we would like to say thank you.
Thanks, you. Thank you for donating to Fund Drive.
Thank you very much for your support. We love you guys. Take it easy.
Thank you so much for donating to Fund Drive.
Thank you. Your donation makes such a huge difference.
Thank you so much for all your donations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you very much to everybody that donated for Fund Drive.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for supporting this year's Fund Drive.
Thanks, guys, for volunteering and donating.
Thank you so much for donating to CITR's Fund Drive this year. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, now this how I'm feeling. Lately, I'm like the villain. Cause why they on that other shit? I've been posted out here chilling. Lord willing, I survive. But not like that 9 to 5. You notice that shit that you bumping in your whip while you drive. I've been living life, and I hope that you do the same. Cause if you ain't doing what you love, it's only you to blame. Come on, I've been through the game. By time that they know my name, number down for the pain. This music, my Novocaine. Lord willing, we overcame. It's time to get over, man. I've been around the world and back, and I swear it's all the same. And what I learned, a prophet don't do it for the check the topic, watch me drop it, can you top it? I don't know, I've been at it on the low. Never did it like this here before, but I'm still in. I just hope I'll make a difference, make a killing. Lord willing, Lord willing, make a difference, Lord willing, Lord willing. I tell them, hold on. So I tell them, hold on. And yeah, you know that I gotta bring it back again. And I tell them, hold on. I don't understand what's happening. And so I tell them, I guess I'm back at it. I ain't done, I ain't had it. If I was underground before, then this is me in my attic. For this rap shit, I'm an addict. But can't fuck with that dramatic. I've been busting my ass. They probably think it's automatic. Yes, sir, I done this shit before, like your baby mama, mama. I'ma tell them like it is. I'ma tell them like it is. Life ain't picture perfect. We use the negatives to develop. I'm well up, I'm way up. Nothing but net fuck the layup. I'm way up. Bitches losing calories out here, jumping to conclusions. Can't fuck with they delusions. I'm on that 101 cruising. Okay, way back in the day, I'd rap in a way, but no, not quite like this. Living like that in a way, guess you can say made me wanna write like this. Not quite like this on my level. I'm unique and I'm a rebel. Like you listening, I hope that you're listening. Just feel like the summertime, waiting for the bus number 9 through the city, all alone. Not a worry, not your phone. We just vibing, maybe flying around the world. Man, I hope you see the world and all your dreams will unfurl. Just don't ever cast your pearl. Go out there and make a living. Take this advice that I'm giving. Make a difference, make a killing, make a killing. Lord willing, Lord willing, make a difference, Lord willing, Lord willing. I tell them, hold on.
understand what's happening. Yeah. And so I tell them.
And we're back here in the CITR 101.9 FM station for 24 hours of student power. You are listening to 24 hours of student power. Have I said that already?
Yes.
And this is CITR 101.9 FM coming to you live from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. Just had to say everything like
absolutely
together.
After.
Yeah, and like we just listened to a bunch of songs. We heard a hit from Duke Dumont from our yours truly, Jay. And I played Lord Willin by Logic. Both of them that played at Pemberton
yeah.
I think Lucy also likes Pemberton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like fun.
And yeah, we just played like great music. We might play some other great music after, but we'll go right back into Jay. Jay is also he's the coordinator for the AMS Food Bank, and he talked about like, you know, some of the difficulties of the job and also some of the great parts that he loves about the job. And he made a moral argument, not just moral argument, but like a very, you know, sane argument about why we need a food bank and why it is important. And now we're just going to go into like more about his own background, and we're going to talk about his RA in, what do I keep calling RA? Residence Advising in Totem Park. Which house are you in Totem Park?
Shoe Swap House.
Shoe Swap. And how is that? How is everything? What made you
want to do it?
What made you want to like take care of first years, you know?
Similar kind of goals that I had coming to the food bank, in a sense. I wanted to help people out somehow. And
don't you love this guy? He's like just so altruistic, you know?
I put that on my resume. Altruistic. It's like, oh God, who is this guy? But yeah, so going to the food bank, again, I wanted to help people out somehow. And then I was still looking for another way to do that. And so I applied to be a residence advisor. And I never really had a good residence advisor when I was in first year. He was kind of absent. And when I heard other...
Oh, shoot. Oh.
What just happened?
No, nothing. I was just joking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, he was like, you kind of like call him out, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was absent, but that really helped us. We had a lot of fun on the floor, which is
fair
nice,
enough,
which is a
enough
good time. But so I heard a lot of stories of how different RAs had helped a lot of my friends out in some like a lot of peer helping situations, and they really made a pretty big impact in their life. And just through like interacting with younger students, they don't look up to me or anything like that, but they're always asking questions. They're always wanting me to kind of tell them what I did and how I kind of screwed up and how to not do that and how to essentially like try to be as successful as you possibly can. So I saw that was a really good position for me to do those kind of things. And also, at the end of the day, it was a free rent on campus.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason why I'm doing all these different things around campus is, yes, so I can get involved, but it's also a major reason so I can pay my way through school,
yeah,
which is kind of funny that I'm the food bank coordinator.
Yeah.
but it's a very real situation for me, too. And that's why I do empathize with all the clients that do use the services,
yeah,
because I wouldn't say I'd be the client that would use the service or a student that would use that service. But that being said, like I totally understand where they're coming from, because
yeah,
I'm almost in their position too. So yeah, so I chose advising just to kind of do those kind of things,
yeah,
to help a lot of students out. It's been amazing. It's been really, really rewarding. It's only been 4 months, and I've already seen a lot of first years kind of blossom into.
Well, what do you think is the biggest thing you've learned in the role as a residence advisor?
Oh, that's a really good question. For some reason, I haven't gotten that question yet. That you need to be able to. In any service industry, anything that you're going to be interacting with people, you need to be able to interact with so many different types of people. whether it's a quiet girl who only studies all the time, you still need to be able to talk to her and ask her how her day is going, get to know her a little bit. Or that really loud guy that parties a lot and is always talking and always yelling, and you need to tell him to first be quiet. But then you also need to tell him to, you need to get to know him.
Shut up, Brian.
you need to know how to get to know that kind of person. So the thing that I've really learned this year is how to interact with so many different types of personalities, so many different types of people. Not only that, but to build good relationships with those people as well. It's been a really interesting thing for me. And I've only tried to spread that out with all the other organizations that I've been a part of as well.
Nice. Speaking of other organizations, you're also involved with the fraternity, Sigma Chi.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, fraternities are supposed to be philanthropic.
Yeah.
And this was like help other people, right?
Yeah. So you could, similar.
The stigma against fraternities is that they're probably not, but like, could you give us a case for why fraternities help people?
Yeah, for me, again, my opinion will be subjective to fraternities. So the reason why I first wanted to join a fraternity, I played sports all the way since I was younger, all the way through high school, and I stopped university. Coming to my first year, I didn't really have that, like the guys, the brotherhood. And some people may take that for granted, but for me, it was really important to have guys that were always going to support you. You can always go talk to them about whatever, to be there for emotional like support. And I had that all through high school. I had that on my first year with the floor that we had. Thankfully, we didn't have an advisor that year. So we had a pretty good time. But then going into second year, I didn't really have that. And I moved off campus. I wasn't on campus anymore. And I was kind of looking for like a group of guys to kind of help you out and kind of lead you towards a good direction.
Kind of like that social safety net, I guess.
Social safety net. It's more than social. It's more emotional. It's more like supportive. To be able to like help you reach different goals that you want to reach. And then so a lot of my friends had joined different fraternities, so I went out to go check it out. For some reason, Sigma Chi kind of stood out to me. The guys that were there were extremely exceptional. We had presidents of the AUS. We had people who are in AMS right now who are executives all across campus, presidents of this club, presidents of that club. So it was amazing to see that. And it's something that I wanted to strive for as well.
Yeah, it's more than the like party animal like stereotype.
Absolutely.
That goes on.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I mean, you're like a stellar example. I mean, look at you.
and that being said, like I feel like the guys in the house and the guys in the fraternity are people that are really involved around campus. But that being said, we're still college students at the end of the day, and we still like to have fun. We still like to party.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's nothing wrong, yeah. At least in university. Like there shouldn't be
something wrong with having fun.
Yeah, and one of the first things I just said. That was one of the reasons why I was in university, is for the experience. And, exactly. And you're not going to be able to get an experience like that outside of university. Yeah. So it's been very fun. It's been a lot different than I expected it to be, which a lot of people do have people do have a stigma about fraternities. Yeah. But again, people do have a stigma about people who use a food bank. People do have a stigma of people who work in res life. So it's funny to go around campus and interact with people when all these stigmas and stereotypes take place, where you can go and essentially bust them, or you can explain why those may not exist, or where those come from, and how those like aren't necessarily like in the place right now, and how it doesn't like encompass the people that are in those organizations at the moment.
Interesting. I think it's interesting to consider the role of a person's existence as like breaking the like boundaries of all the stereotypes that surround them. You know, it's like I don't know if that's like a thing, but like whatever. I just thought about it. Cool. So we're going back to being an RA. So their applications are opening soon, or they are already open. Actually.
Yeah, they already opened. Yeah.
And they close January 14th. What would you advise a person that is listening right now and like wants to help out, or like, you know, do something great and like just wants to apply, but they're not sure how they should and like what they should do and like what is the best way, even if they get the job, right? How is the best way to impact students' lives?
Yeah, primarily if you're looking to make a meaningful impact on your community, and your community is your house, your floor, whatever it may be, if you're looking for that impact, then I would absolutely apply. If you're looking for something that you have a community within a lot of people can support you. I wouldn't say it's similar to a fraternity in some instances, because you have that group of people that are always looking out for you. In Res Life, you have this group of people that are always looking out for you, whether it's the other advisors, whether it's your RC, who's a residence coordinator, who's essentially like your manager, your boss, as well as other, and the RLM, which is the RC's boss. So there's that entire hierarchy, like they are very supportive, and the people that are working as advisors, they really do truly care. For everybody, especially the people that they're working with and working alongside. So if you're looking to make impactful work and you're also looking for a community to work in, absolutely. Like, I would definitely recommend applying for it. And that being said, like, they really are looking for a lot more advisors this year. There's going to be a new residence.
Orchard.
Yeah, Orchard Park. It's beautiful. It's almost too beautiful. it's gorgeous. They're like, first years are going to be living there, man. I want to live there.
Bro, man.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to be almost doubling in size with the residents that they have. So they need to double in size with the residence advisors that they have. So there are a lot of applicants that are going to be applying. And I would recommend everybody to apply who wants to be a part of that. And then also, like, if the interview process is pretty tough, they really do want to get to know you. They want to make sure that they're going to have someone who can impact someone's life in some sense, and also direct, different first years, to be able to make the most out of their year. And yeah, I would definitely recommend applying. It's definitely been a really cool, experience for me. And it's also very good for kind of your job application as well, when you apply to different jobs later on.
How do you think that like positively impacts?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking of an example. If someone asks you, so tell me a time that you led a team. There you go. Here's your example of leading
it's
a team.
Right there. Yeah.
Tell me a time that you dealt with a serious situation. I mean, they're all confidential, but a lot of residence advisors like deal with a lot of different peer helping situations. A lot of emergency situations as well that like really put you on edge as an advisor, but that you're able to learn so much from that. Something that I can't even think of anywhere else on campus that you can learn anything like that. And again, like I said in the very beginning, that's one of the most important parts, right? Is gaining an experience. There's only so much you can study. You need to be able to go out there, put your foot forward, and actually learn something from the different things that you're doing.
Yeah, nice. What about for fraternities? If the person is also thinking about getting involved with the fraternity, how would they go about it? How do they apply? That's one. And how did they just like get involved generally?
Yeah. So there's a formal rush process, recruitment process in the fall when school starts, in the second week of fall or second week of September, sorry. They also have different rush events. Rushing is when someone who's interested in joining the fraternity would come out and meet the guys, get to know them a little bit and see if they would like to join the fraternity or like to become a pledge of that fraternity. And that happens sometimes in January and February as well. But most of the time, and all the fraternities do have it in September, as well as sororities too. So like the entire Greek system has that during that time. It's a pretty similar thing to Res Life, to be completely honest. It's if you want a community that you want to be a part of, and you want those brothers or you want those sisters to be supporting you, helping you out, whether it be in academics, whether it be in your personal life, whether it be even your professional life in some instances, they can really support you. They can lead you to opportunities that you may not have seen in the past. And it's also just, I hate to say this because networking has a very negative stigma to it, but it is a very good networking.
Sutter.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I hear. I love it. But I was networking even before Sutter. So it does. And not only are you, the true definition of networking is you're actually building a good relationship with someone, and that's what you're able to do in different fraternities and different sororities. So if anybody's interested in doing it, definitely come out, meet the guys in the fall, do your research on it, on different fraternities and why you actually really want to join. If you want to join just to come and party and everything, obviously there'll be some fraternities that may do that more so than others, or focus on those more than others.
That shouldn't be your main
reason. That shouldn't be your main reason if you're looking to get the most out of it. And that being said too, like the pledging process, for instance, at least for Sigma Chi, is a really good time where you're able to reflect on your own different ideas and different things that you're doing around campus and doing in your life, and alongside with the rest of your brothers, by being able to reflect and see like why you're actually there in the first place, it really helped me at least just to kind of figure out who I am as a person and why I'm a part of that organization too, and it supported me throughout the rest of my endeavors that I've done across campus.
Okay, so could you reintroduce yourself before we head out?
Yes, again, my name is Jay Singh. Predominant role here is at the AMS
Food Bank.
Yeah, with, as a food bank coordinator, it's been an amazing job for me, along with advising that I'm doing too, along with being a part of fraternity, and also, most importantly, being a student at the Sauter School of Business over here. So
I am a student.
Yeah.
So, hashtag I am a student. Okay, so yeah, we're just going to slide out of the show. We might actually come back on just like ask questions and just talk like generally before we like go on to the next show. But I'm going to play some music. The Good Lovelies with their Winter's Calling album just came out recently, I think. And I'm just going to play some like Christmas music or no, non-denominational Festivus music or something. I don't know. But like any of that. And I'll play some Ariane Moffat. She's an artist from Montreal.
Cool.
And she released an album called Ma. So I'm just going to play one or two songs and then we'll be right back. All right. All right. See ya. December.